Sports talk.
While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So I was laughing at a lot of things this morning. It was so funny.
The funniest one is the Jim Louth question. I'm going to ask him when he comes back home. Do we have him Wednesday or Thursday?
He's back Wednesday, right?
He's been without kids for 7 straight days. He and his wife never mind.
I thought he was back tomorrow.
Oh, is he back tomorrow?
I don't know.
He might be.
I don't know anything. But
why?
What did I miss?
What did I miss?
I'll tell you in the first break.
No kids for 7 days.
Yeah.
Are you wondering if he's going to be in a great mood? So, I mean, I've seen you
There's
for 5 minutes so far
set
today.
Me off today. Not set me off.
You've been laughing at a lot of things.
I'm sitting there, and I know a lot of things have happened in sports over the weekend. We're going to get to all that.
We do
a sports show in the midday, and we try and be sports show radio hosts. We get all that. But man, I feel bad for a lot of people in a lot of towns.
That
and
sucks.
You live in Quincy. And not to say that we joked about the weather on Friday, but we kind of did because we didn't know it was going to be bad as the conditions ended up being.
Yeah, I wouldn't joke about it now.
The people with nobody's joking about it. I'm just saying, sometimes they rev up, super storm of the century and you get there and next thing you know, okay, it's a dusting. Like they said we were going to get 3 inches and we got a dusting. We had like 2 inches in Rentham and it's melted already. But to see some of these, and we have trees down. In our town, and I didn't mean to start with this, but
you did. So let's.
Well, you live in Quincy.
And I do, but I was fine.
It's the news. I mean, it's just some of the devastation.
All my house neck people.
Oh
man, what a weekend you guys.
Feel bad for those people. People still without power. We've lost power at our house, multiple times over the years, but nothing to this devastation of people are suffering. But we're getting another nor'easter on Wednesday. Wednesday night into Thursday, and they're saying potential another 6 inches of snow. I mean. Geez, when's it going to end? But a resilient state, these towns to clean up and to see the people in Duxbury, Marshfield, just terrible out there. Terrible. Makes you actually think about, why do I live along the coast at times? You love the scenery, you love living by the water, but man.
You get a lot of water down there and rent them?
We have some flight and rent them at work. We're kind of.
The hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about some of these towns. You got to actually like, wow. Do you think about moving? I don't know. Man. There you go. That's my take on the weather.
That's your take on the weather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else is on your mind this morning?
I told you I watched.
I might just put off getting to the Celtics until next segment.
I would. I mean, that's where I'd like to start today. But I agree because I think we have some fantastic audio from the Johnson and Flynn show. I listen to that when I'm driving around. Like, both kids are starting up sports again. Sam's lacrosse, probably his baseball. You're kind of in a car a lot, and you're listening on the weekends, and Flynn went off. And we're going to get to the Celtics in the next segment, right? Okay.
Yeah, I just want you to get out of your system, because, whatever else you got going on, because
I'm in here,
you're laughing, T-Bone's laughing. I mean, what the hell did I miss? What did I miss?
Nothing, just typical stuff, everyday stuff. Blastoff's hospital. Oh my God.
Is he back tomorrow? Do we know?
I don't know. Nobody knows if Hardy's going to be in tomorrow. We got Sarge coming in. Fred.
Why wouldn't Hardy be in tomorrow?
Rich's sick, I think.
Again? He's going to be sick again? Can we?
Well, you don't know. I mean, I had that flu, dude, and if he's, what's he got? Has he got the flu?
Strep.
Oh, strep's bad.
Oh, he'll
too.
Be fine. My 3-year-old had strep. Yeah. Day later, he was 100%
like
fine.
Yeah, but kids are like that.
100% adults? Fine. 24 hours on the meds, get back to work.
Razor blades in your throat, man. I will not judge people on strep.
Okay,
or the
you know
flu.
What? I don't care if you need to not, you know, take another jab. Just give us Hardy back.
I want my Hardy
That's
back.
That's all I care.
Why can't you Murray slay in? I don't understand.
I just want Hardy back. That's right. All I want. I don't really. Fritz is sick. He's sick.
Yeah. But we're going to get to some of the combine stuff. I think there's some freakish athletes on defense. The Patriots need massive defensive help. So there's going to be a lot of guys out there. And if you're in a position to draft a quarterback to top this draft, we'll get to that. I'd be crapping my pants right now. Because there's nobody that just jumped off the, you know, just, wow, that guy's.
All right, Zoe watched 6.5 hours of the combine.
And
Andy watched the Celtics on Saturday night.
And you know me, if you listen to the show.
All weekend.
It's kind of like random in and out on the Celtics until, like, you know, you get close to the playoffs, you really hone in on it. But it's like that appointment viewing. It's a big game. This is a pretty good barometer. And there he is again. Just average out. And that's in and out. I know he's a good player. I understand all that. He's 7 feet and all that stuff, and he makes $30 freaking million, which I don't understand why. But I guess that's the league. And of course, you don't know basketball. You don't know the NBA. You don't watch every night. Does little things. We're gonna get to the Flynn on.
Okay,
because I think that kind of sets the table.
We're gonna get to Al Horford, and we're gonna get to the Celtics, and we'll talk about that game on Saturday night against the Rockets. We will do that next. With your calls, Zoe also has a lot of thoughts on the combine. We'll be getting to those as well on this Monday here on Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Celtics had a very tough loss on Saturday night against the Houston Rockets. Very entertaining game. I mean, that was an easy one to watch and get excited about. And it had all the makings of a big game. Given the spot, Saturday night, late in the season, two good teams, all of it comes together on those nights and you expect to get a good product. And I think if you were watching, regardless of who you root for, even if it's not the Celtics or the Rockets, you got a good game. Unfortunately, if you're a Celtics fan and you watch that game, you weren't happy with the outcome. And I think there's a couple of things to look at with this game. My big takeaway from this game is, first of all, you're frustrated because the Celtics, despite not doing some certain things well in this game, my God, did they need a rebound late. They still were in a position to win with under 90 seconds to play. And in my opinion, they should have won the damn game on the road and had it in their grasp in the last 90 seconds. And they gave the thing away with those two turnovers late. I mean, gave the game away. They were in a position to win and they didn't grab it and take it. Okay?
That's the frustrating part.
That's the maddening part of that game, because you look at that and say, the Celtics could have won that damn game. You get mad about it. But it's almost in a positive sense, like, well, it was there for the taking.
Yeah.
So you kept yourself in it for that final minute, and
I think Stevens is going to draw something up here.
You know, it's like a double-edged sword. You gave it away with your own stupidity, but they didn't take it from you. You had to give it to them with your own stupidity.
That's what pisses you off the most.
If you correct your own stupid mistakes, which you can do, you can win the game. So that's how you kind of feel coming away from the game. Obviously, Al Horford played a major role down the stretch, and I mean that in a negative way. Al Horford did not have a good night. Al Horford picked a bad night to have a bad game, and Al Horford, since the All-Star break, has not been very good. Has not been very good. The play that obviously stands out is his pass to no one while he was laying on the floor of the arena. And
what, a little five-footer?
I don't know how to explain that away. I know that Brad Stevens and Marcus Smart were trying to call timeout. I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, caught.
And the difference between good teams and really good teams, or really good teams and great teams, many times is doing the little things right.
Okay,
you do
stop.
You do the little things right.
Here we go.
You execute. You make smart basketball plays. Your talent only takes you so far. Your brains have to kick in at some point to separate yourself from other good, talented teams like the Rockets are. And the Celtics didn't make those plays, and you would expect the guy who does the smart, heady plays, who does the little things like Al Horford, to maybe have his head on his shoulders in a critical moment of a big Saturday night game, and he did it.
Yeah.
He threw up all over himself. I mean, he puked right down his shirt in that moment.
As much as I dislike Rajon Rondo, the thing that I respected about Rajon Rondo is when it was a marquee game, or the lights and the game had juice, to put it in Kevin Garnett's terms, where, hey, games need some juice, man, you know. Rondo would rise to the occasion in those type of games. And I don't mean to term it this way with Horford, because you sort of understand what he is as a player. And you're waiting for him to, like, you know, this is the one where he should explode. Seven-footer, get in there. Just do some things that you did at the end of last year and in the playoffs, where you saw him put up some big numbers. And it just seems like when, I don't know, lights are its brightest, he's like the third or fourth best on your team. And it can't happen when you're making $30 million a year. But that's what we do, too. We put your demands and expectations for players, regardless of the sport. And this is what we're going to do with J.D. Martinez. Hey, you want to come here and you want to make big money and you want to play in this market? Your expectations are going to be elevated because of the type of money you make. It seems like every time he has the bad game, the over-the-top analyzation of he does all the little things and the boxing out, the rebound, you don't understand. I'm so tired of hearing that when he doesn't play well. Why can't we just say, okay, he was a minus 20 something.
Okay. But no one is saying that about him right now.
I don't know, dude.
Who's defending Al Horford for the way that he played on Saturday night?
I saw some replies on Twitter, too. Like, I'll put it out there. Okay. And then people reply, well, you don't understand, because he stepped back last year to let Isaiah Thomas
do what
he did, to where you increased his value to where you could get a guy like Kyrie Irving on your team.
This is where the anti-Horford crowd, you and your crowd, not me, you know I'm a Horford guy, your crowd takes it too far. And it's nonsense.
Okay,
I'm not defending
Houston in a big game on Saturday where it's like appointment viewing.
Right. Fair criticism. A big spot, big game. He sucked. No one is saying he played well.
Right.
No one is telling you that on Saturday night, look at the little things that he did. No one's saying that. No one is saying it, and no one is defending him. He's not been good since the All-Star break. Everybody can admit that.
Isn't it sad how we're trained, though? Isn't it sad how we're trained, though?
I don't mean that.
We're so used to the defenders of him.
It doesn't mean he sucks as a player, though.
I know that.
He doesn't suck.
He's not a suck. I understand that. He's not a great player. He's damn good.
You and Mike Flynn and your ilk, you anti-Horford guys, yes. Does he make a ton of money? Yes, he does. He does. Is he overpaid? Probably. You could probably, if you were a team that had your pick of any free agent you wanted, yep, you could probably find a better way to spend the $30 million. But that wasn't the case for the Celtics when they signed him. And they're a better team with him than without him.
That's true.
You don't like Al Horford, you should be able to bring yourself to admit they're a better team with him than they are without him. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Well, at least we have that established. No one is telling you that Saturday night Al Horford did the little things or played well, or you don't understand basketball.
And it's not even about pressure. It's not like he cracks under pressure. I understand that. And you wouldn't be in a position you're in or able to have the type of people. He was the first guy to want to come here when things were bad. And he got a respect for it. And he's weathered the storm. He hears it. His sister hears it. I mean, to not hear it, you got to be crazy to play in this town and say you don't hear your people talking about you. And I think, for the most part, from a leadership standpoint, when we talk to Stevens and what he means as far as holding this thing together, and, hey, things were not good at the beginning of the year. When Gordon Hayward went down, he was one of the guys at the beginning, but now this is where they're going to need him, where urgency, right? Coach Stevens told us what 2 weeks ago? Sense of urgency coming back. We need to be on it. He hasn't been on it. And that's scary as this thing gets in, because there could be some potential bad matchups for this team in the playoffs.
He was not very good. He was not very good. I don't think he was the only player that struggled in that game. I don't think Kyrie Irving had a good game. I don't think Kyrie Irving was at his best on Saturday night. If you want to talk about playing your best in the biggest games, we've seen Kyrie Irving play have better nights. That's not to, and by the way, that's not an excuse for Al Horford. I'm not making an excuse for Al Horford. Al Horford owned it after the game. He took it on, said it was a tough game for him personally. He owned it, basically said he was terrible.
He always says the right things.
I think it was his worst game as a Celtic. I think that game was, I don't know how you can make the case for another one. You mentioned plus minus. That one, statistically, is his worst game as a Celtic, minus 22 at the end of the night.
I understand it. I don't care about the
damn
stats. So you just watch the game.
No, 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 I know that.
Oh,
I'm saying he literally threw the game away at the end of the game.
Right.
Okay, that one play basically summed up his night. It was his worst game as a Celtic. So that's what it took for the anti-Horford crowd. They had to wait the 127 games for him to have a bad game on the bad night to do it, to now, ha! Told you so. He sucks.
Not saying told you so.
He's just not any good.
You're on the spot right there. Everybody's watching. Crowd. This is the big one. That was a big one.
He had a bad night. Yeah. I don't think anyone's saying otherwise. I dare you to find me the guy who's saying otherwise, that he had a good night, and that
no, but there's
you
none.
Just can't see it. Because there have been plenty of games where Al Horford does contribute in a big way, and it doesn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. Where it doesn't show up in terms of offensive production. It doesn't show up in the form of points. It might show up in the form of points for other players. He's a guy who sets other players up.
Yeah.
He's a facilitator. Most nights, he does help you defensively. Saturday night, not so much. And not so much. Bad night for him.
Just be a little more physical. That's all. But he's not that type of player. He's not. But there's flashes when he wants to be. When you move him, or when he had to play the five, I mean, there are times where, okay, I mean, again, we saw it at the end of last year. And you just think that, okay, at this point, when you put him with guys like Kyrie, this is really where, you know, okay, can he be the second best player on the team?
There are times where he does do all those things.
Yeah.
And I know you've seen it.
Yeah,
does that make you a $30 million player in the NBA? Most of the time, not.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it doesn't.
Don't hate the market. Man.
But he will make a beautiful pass. He will
box out,
help
man.
Your like, spacing.
Yep.
He will box out. He and will
nothing
rebound.
Like a 7-footer when he can knock down a three, man. That's
and you know what it is too? It's the threat of here's the problem too with Al Horford not playing well since the break. A big part of Al Horford's game is being the threat of the rebound or the threat of even a basket, right?
Yeah.
When you're not playing well, you don't command the same respect and you don't draw the same respect in game on the floor. You don't have to worry about Al Horford to the degree you normally would. The threat of Al Horford is sometimes better than Al Horford himself.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think Brad like his game the other night is not going to make Brad Stevens lose sleep. You lose sleep over things that a guy like Marcus Smart does off the court. And you worry about, is this guy?
I don't know, man. I would have lost some sleep over that
game.
Yeah,
but I mean,
that's one you run through your head. Because if that's a playoff
game.
Yeah,
but veterans come back from that. I mean, I'm going to trust him to come back from that. I am. I'm going to give him that. But I tell you what, we're going to get on him when you play bad. Did we do that with Tuca at the beginning of years? That when you have $7 million goalies and you play like crap at the beginning, you're going to get roasted.
Now, granted, it's a Western Conference team, but if it's a playoff game against a good team like that and you have a loss like that, you would lose sleep. So I can understand losing sleep on a game like that because that's the type of game you cannot afford to have the mistakes that they had late in the game in a playoff game. And so that does sort of bring up the question of is this team – you know, going to be ready for that.
And off the Kyrie
point.
If
they get deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Are they ready to compete at that high level and not make dumb mistakes in the final closing minutes of a game when a lot of games in the NBA are decided? Especially when you have evenly matched teams and you got two good rosters going against one another.
Does Kyrie got to be perfect every night? Is that an indicator? To where, okay, he has a little bit of an off night and you just can't combine the two. Like, there's no room for error for Kyrie. And not that there should be. I mean, he's a planet player. Frustrating, though, the other night. That's a bad loss. That's a bad loss. Super Bowl is a bad loss. When you give it away and it's there for the taking, those are the ones that stick with you. It's not like that team came in here and took it from you. It's a bad loss.
No one is saying Al Horford had a good night Saturday night. I just want to make that clear to all you anti-Horford guys.
We got B-Rob
like
in here, too.
Like
yeah.
Flynn, who had a meltdown apparently yesterday on the air, which I haven't heard yet, but Zoe did.
I think it caught Silver off guard.
And Zoe went back and
Flynn's got a pulse.
Him and T-Bone pulled up a clip that Zoe wanted to play for everybody today in case you missed it yesterday. Those guys got into it on Al Horford because the anti-Horford crowd wants to take a victory lap after Saturday night. That's what they want to do. We'll get to that coming up next. Here's Sarge with headlines.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got B-Rob back there today. B-Rob, of course, of BostonSportsJournal.com, covers the Celtics. He had some stuff on Horford, saying the more troubling trend from the Celtics standpoint has to be with Al Horford's all-around production beyond Saturday night. This relates to him, Zoe, post-All-Star game. He's in a bad stretch. He says, despite his career-high shooting accuracy from three-point range, the veterans' numbers have been trending downwards. He has scored 10 points or less in six of his past eight games. He's shooting a team-low 31% from the field since the All-Star break. Those numbers are concerning due to where those attempts are coming from on the floor. Horford is shooting 35% from three-point range over that span. So it's his usual high-percentage attempts from inside the arc that aren't falling. He's hitting a paltry 28% of his shots from the two-point range over the past five games, 8 of 28. Oh. It's not just the scoring that's been on the decline either. Rebounds and assists per game averages well below his season averages in the month of February. He looks a step slow and hesitant at times, and the Celtics can't rebound as a team when he's playing center, which has been an issue since he signed in Boston.
What the hell do you attribute that to? I mean, like, we talk about even like Tatum hitting a rookie wall where some of these young guys sort of get
hurt. Is somebody wrong?
That's what I was going to say. Are they, and we did this with Isaiah last year where, you know, you knew the reports of the injury, but not to the severity of it. Or even Stevenson, hey, man, he's really sucking it up going through this. Are we going to end up finding that out at the end, that this guy's playing through something? What do you attribute this to, B-Rob? I mean, you're there. You watch it every day. What's the difference here? 8 of 28 from inside the arc. I mean, you talk about if the great thing about him is he does all the other things so well. The boxing out, the pick and rolls, the passing. Yeah, what do you attribute it to? Looks like Tom dropped his mic.
Oh, what happened there?
I think he might be hurt, so I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
like okay. No, Beetle. I said brought that. It up first.
Beetle, yeah, like,
I think he might be hurt.
I mean, he's had slumps like this before, but not to this degree.
From a sluggish standpoint, he's too athletic for that.
So before he threw away the ball, did you see the shot he took before he threw it away?
5-footer.
Yeah,
that thing was brutal. That speaks to the stats that you've highlighted. Like, what the hell?
Do you think upper body or lower body?
What's going on with him? Like, you look at that shot and say, that is such a horrible shot from him, and you know that he's so much better than that, that you just look at like, that has completely been lost in this. The shot that he took prior to being on the ground with the ball was horrible.
Right. And they're targeting him in post-ups all night.
From inside the paint, he pulls up, takes a shot, and it's a horrible-looking shot from that distance.
Exactly, Beto. I think you're dead on with that, and the worrisome thing is they kept on, you know, most of the time you go to Horford in the post against mismatches. They had that a lot with guys, him posting up like Harden, Ariza, guys like that. He couldn't get anything going in that game all game long because he's off. And whether that's injury, whether that's
being on the road,
you need some rest. Again, it's a long year. He's had a lot of onus on him. At least now, this is why you bring in a guy like Greg Monroe potentially, because maybe down the stretch you got to give Horford a few games off here and just let him just refill for the playoffs because he's obviously just not right now.
Give Al Horford a few games off to get him right. Wow.
Selective rest.
Would you do it? I would.
Yeah.
If that's what it is, yeah, then I would do it. If he's hurt and he needs the rest, give him the rest.
Yeah, you need him. Yeah.
So yesterday, Johnston and Flynn. Zoe's driving around in the car.
Yeah.
He's listening to Johnston and Flynn. Sean Silver on headlines, right? Yeah. Silver. Tall guy, very tall, Sean Silver. And weekend guys, very tall around here. Between
his wife's
Silver, Matt McCarthy,
having a baby,
a lot of height.
Guy rides bikes.
Wow, Silver's how tall is Silver?
He's 6'4", and I'm 6'1".
He's only 6'4"?
Maybe 6'3", but I'm 6'1". Every time I look up at him, I feel like I'm 4'2".
He's
kind of like with Zoe.
He's got that lanky, it's a deceptive 6'4".
He's
got
to be 6'4".
He's great. No way he's 6'3". He's great on the court, too. Good ball player.
All right, so let's hear what happened. I have not heard this.
Care more about the headlines.
Zoe's fired up about it. Zoe thinks Mike Flynn is God. Loves Mike Flynn for his criticism of Horford. Let's hear it. This is about a 90-second clip of these two guys going at it yesterday.
He needs to make more plays in setting picks. You know that.
I agree with that. He does need to make more plays.
Well, what does he do then? Talk me out of it.
Okay.
Talk me up later.
So you're using the positionless team thing, but there's not another person at his height in the league who can occupy that space on the floor and does what he does.
What does he do?
He is third among centers in assists. He is number one. Number
one.
He
has five assists. You cannot compare him to a center. This is a centerless league. Who gives a crap if he's a center? Five assists?
He is number one.
Oh, my God.
He
that's freaking ridiculous.
One,
he's a damn all-star. Does he compare against real players? Not against Joe Jabonis that's a seven-foot guy, turkey guy.
Who is he? No.
Stop.
No.
Jokic, I don't care
Denver,
what he does
Cousins,
compared to centers.
Marc Gasol,
this is the worst league.
These are all-star players.
This is the worst league ever for centers. This NBA doesn't have centers. Compare him to real basketball players. Go ahead.
I just mentioned three of them. Nikola Jokic, DeMarcus Cousins, Marc Gasol. That's the only other comps that he has for assists.
Jokic, much better pass. Could do way more things. Gasol, way better player. He could score. He could rebound. He could pass.
For big men, he is number one in the league.
He's got five assists. He doesn't have 15 a game.
In three-point shooting. Number one in the league in three-point shooting.
Oh, my God. He takes, like, two a game, one a game.
Somebody's got a pulse. That guy's name is Mike Flynn. You're a little pissed off there, huh? You think he caught Silver off guard?
No, I don't think he caught him off guard. I just think that their style of going back and forth is a little different.
Yeah. I just thought that was like, wow, that's entertaining.
Silver's like, okay, all right, let me continue to my next point. And Mike is losing his mind.
Compared to some Turk. It's 7 foot lanky shooter.
I just think they've got a little bit
European
of a different approach.
He's got five assists. He doesn't have 15 a game.
I think what Flynn would chalk that up was a bad loss Saturday. Yeah, bad loss.
It was. It was a bad loss, a bad night for Al Horford.
Is Johnston here? He did throw out the break. 6-on-7. He's a little uncomfortable. It was good. It was good.
Silver confirmed 6'4 menace from East Dennis. No, South Dennis. There you go.
You screwed that up.
No, well, wait a minute. He says South. Oh my God. It's East. East Dennis. There you go. Boom.
Oh, my God.
He
that's
is
freaking
number
ridiculous.
One,
he's a damn all-star.
One.
That made your Sunday better.
I did. It did. I got a good laugh out of it. Where's he from? East Dennis or South?
East Dennis.
Where are you seeing East? I'm seeing
he
South.
He just tweeted out.
Oh, he himself.
Yeah. He replied to mine.
East Dennis.
Yep.
He's having a baby, too, so congratulations.
Yeah, next month.
He's definitely not 6'3". He's got to be 6'4".
6'4". He confirmed it.
Like you. Tall drink of water. At end, he was a tall guy.
617-779-0985 is a telephone number. Troy in Dorchester. What do you got, Troy?
How you guys doing?
Good.
So, I was listening to that Saturday segment with Flynn as he was going off, and I was loving it because I say the same thing about Al Horford. He is not a good player. When he was in Atlanta and he was talking about being a max guy, and they were talking about him being a max guy when he was going to be a free agent, I was crossing my fingers the Celtics didn't bite at that. And when we did, I said that is going to be the biggest mistake we make. $30 million to him, he's worth like 15 best. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but like to Beatles' point, are you a better team with – I mean,
too much responsibility on him because he makes $30 million, and he's not that player. He's just not.
That's the frustrating part. And that's what we do. And because you will also argue, you know, look at everything else. Don't look at the money. No. There's a salary cap. You need to look at the money. You need to look at the way you structure your team. There's a reason they rebuilt this team from last year that competed with you-know-who. I just, you know, if he's got something wrong with him and it's going to affect his game, maybe you do rest him for a little bit. You got to get this guy right. You need to get this guy right for the stretch run.
617-779-0985. You got thoughts on Al Horford or the Celtics' loss on Saturday night? Bring him to the table. Good open phone lines for you. So watch 6.5 hours of combine coverage over the weekend. Where did you find 6.5 hours to do that?
Because they're replaying it right now, and they just continually just keep looping the thing.
I'm just saying, where did you find 6.5 hours of free time?
You start watching
you're
it.
You're a busy
Next
guy.
Thing you know, you're sitting there for an hour and a half. Then you take the kids somewhere. You come back, and the quarterbacks, you know, you're just going to keep watching that one.
All right, so you watched all the quarterbacks this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Zoe is going to tell you his thoughts on the quarterbacks. And I think you want to hear this. Zoe's got a big thought on the quarterbacks that he watched at the Combine this weekend in Indianapolis. We will get to that thought coming up next.
Because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Combine was taking place over the weekend in Indy. Quarterbacks were throwing. You had 40s going on. You had the bench press going on. You had a lot of stuff happening there. But really, it was the quarterbacks that caught your attention. It always catch your attention as a quarterback.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of ingrained in me.
And you've got a pretty big take on this draft, yep, which has been regarded, widely regarded, as a quarterback-heavy draft with a lot of options in it. Right?
There's a lot of options.
Everyone's talking up that there could be
multiple
franchise quarterbacks in this draft, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of been the theme going back, God, more than a year now.
Yeah.
People have talked about this draft and the quarterbacks in the draft. Tell me what you think of the quarterbacks in this draft.
See, and you say franchise quarterbacks. You remember when Manning came out, it was Manning and Ryan Leaf. And NFL.com, I think, tweeted out the combine from 93 or 94. Now, we're not going to bring any agents in and this and that. And there was a video, and they got Bledsoe in there twirling the ball, and he's sitting next to Rick Meyer. And you remember that debate? You're going to take Bledsoe, you're going to take Meyer. Well, I'll live that one. And the Andrew Luck stuff when he came out, and it was him and RG3. And I watched this group of quarterbacks throw over the course of the weekend. And going into it, here's what I from an expectation standpoint, I thought when you watch Baker Mayfield, he was going to be okay. You see Josh Allen throwing. The thing I was impressed with Josh Allen, he looks like a massive, Ben Roethlisberger type, 6'6". He's already 240, 245 pounds. I know they had listed at 237, but the kid's going to put on some more weight. You know the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? I'm trying to put this kindly. You know when he's coming down the street and he's got that look on his face, Allen seems to have that. And I don't know if that's a good thing, a bad thing. He met Dan Marino the other day and called him Mr. Elway. But the kid threw the ball 70 yards, 72 yards in the air. Okay? And to politely put this, the knock on him is that he's not the brightest bulb. You know what I mean? So to speak. And if you're a team that is going to draft that high, top five type pick, and this kid's gone up the draft board, and I kind of understand why, you know, they're smitten with Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson, on his first 7 throws, he was 2 of 7 against air. You understand why he's almost a 50% thrower. Not accurate at all. Now, he's got freakish athletic ability, okay? So, and I heard the And you understand the Sean Watson comparisons. Watson was an accurate passer. You watch him at Clemson, that kid can throw. You watch him with Houston this year and how he delivered the ball on time and the understanding and layering of the passing routes. The biggest point here that I take through the whole thing, if I'm a franchise that is sitting there and I'm top five, top ten type pick team and I get a chance at one of these guys, I'm crapping my pants because nobody jumped off the table. You didn't watch this and come away thinking, this guy blew the doors off people. Like, Allen looked strong. He could throw the ball through a wall. But, man, disappointed in some of the other guys. Like, you see Rosenthal, he's okay. I thought the Kyle Lauletta kid from Richmond, the Mason Rudolph kid from Oklahoma State, Like, the gap's not that big between Josh Allen, them. They talk about, I'm looking at this kid, Sam Darnold, standing there with his hair sticking up. He didn't even throw. He could have thrown that day and blown the doors off all the other guys that are there. The two best guys, I thought, were Lauletta and Baker Mayfield. And I didn't expect that to happen over the weekend. Like, Allen's strong. You could see that. But I don't know if there's a franchise guy in this draft. But you're going to be forced to take a guy because you're in that spot and you're a bad team. Bad team. My biggest point is bad teams could get worse because you're going to roll the dice on the wrong guy. It seems like there's a group of guys there. And it's not like, to my bigger point, where past drafts, where it's a debate between this guy or that guy, this guy or that guy. It's either one or the other. It's Manning or it's Leaf. Or it's RG3 or it's Luck. It's like there's six guys there.
So who's the best in the group?
It might be Baker Mayfield. And I understand why people don't like him. Miami Dolphins has set up a meeting the night before his
workout.
What
about Rosen? What do you got on Rosen?
Something worries me about Rosen saying, I want to be the next Tom Brady. I want more rings. I'm the best guy in this draft. Can he stay on the freaking field? If you want to beat Tom Brady, can you take five shots in your ribs or your shoulder and play a season with something torn and you're going to get it fixed at the end of the year? I don't believe that in Rosen. Rosen's missed too many games here and there. I don't think he could take the beating. There's just something, I don't know, a little smarmy about him. I don't know. I like him. He's okay. But I don't look at him as saying, this guy's next Andrew Luck, man. I want to saddle up with this guy and
okay,
roll.
Do you think anyone dropped as a result of the weekend?
I think Lamar Jackson dropped.
And why is that?
It's strictly the down-the-field passing
that was not really an issue?
Yeah, it's the down-the-field
stuff. It's really the outside stuff.
It's the outside stuff. It is. Because you're going to face against really good teams. You're going to face the good corners. Let's face it, it's the NFL. So the guys are going to be able to play man. You need to fit that ball in the tight spots. You need to be accurate. And that's a concerning thing for him because he hasn't played a lot under center. And what are you going to put him in a gun and run him every play? He's going to get killed. Don't turn him into Cam Newton. The kid's a hell of an athlete. You want him to play quarterback because he's an exciting guy to watch. Tim Tebow was exciting in college. It didn't work at the next level for him. But you just watch the guy throw and you can just say, something ain't right here with Tim Tebow. Something's not right there with Jackson. But he is such a freakish athlete that he overcompensates for his, lack of accuracy with his feet. So I don't know if that'll translate at the next level because you got guys that are running, you look at this kid Griffin, who had a hell of a weekend. Come on. I mean, everybody's talking about the kid with one hand from UCF. He jumped off the page. He runs 4.38. That's a linebacker. You got edge guys and linebackers that run 4.4s, 4.5s in this league, not in college. So, I mean, Josh Allen looks good. I think someone's going to roll the dice and take him. He's going to be the first quarterback off the board. And I don't know if that's a good thing. That would make me nervous if I'm a GM or I'm an owner and you're sitting there and you're going over this thing with a fine-tooth comb, tons of film. That's what we're doing. I mean, we overanalyze this stuff. Back when Bledsoe came out, we didn't have this type of footage.
So do you think that the possibility exists that Kyle Lauletta moves up the board because of what guys ahead of him did?
Yeah.
Is that a problem for the Patriots if they want to draft him?
Maybe, maybe not, because some people have him going third, fourth round. Like, if you're there at 43, is he the guy? You pull the trigger on it? If he's there at 43, do you go? See, what you get nervous of, and I'll tell you what, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you're taking a running back from Penn State. You're taking Barkley number one overall.
I mean, you want to talk about accuracy.
Man, you could get your quarterback at 4-5.
Lauletta looked accurate.
He looks. I don't want to say it. I mean, this is.
What does he look like?
It's a kid that. He looks like Brady. Brady looked clunkier when he was coming out. This kid looks smooth. Tight, compact, keeps the ball seated right at chest cavity. Boom, ball's out. Seems like he handled all the interviews well. Some of the stuff he's saying, I'm looking forward to coming into the league, whoever takes me. I think he handled himself really well this weekend. And that's what it is. It's a job interview. Those 2 days are a job interview. Bottom line, you're going to put the tape on from the 4 years where the kids played and watch and think. You're not deciding based on what you saw a kid running, in Under Armour tight tank tops and shorts. And, you got all different people up in the stands watching. You're not taking a kid just because of that. But If I'm a team sitting there, Josh Allen comes in, that's Dan Marino. He calls him Josh, John Elway.
Mr. Elway.
That worries me because of the concerns of, well, why is he a 56% passer? He wants Brady in the Super Bowl. You better be hitting 70, 75%. That's a concern. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Sort of a journeyman backup type guy. So if your team's now there sitting at the top, are you adjusting the way you think that, man, we need to reach and get one of these kids because we might not have that chance again in the next 5 years? I don't look at that grouping of guys and say, boy, that's one guy in the last 10 years that you may never have again, like an Andrew Luck. I mean, Baker Mayfield sort of was the best thrower this weekend. He and LaLetta. That's what I took from it. Josh Allen's got the strongest arm. I think there's concerns with Lamar Jackson. But that's going to be an intriguing pick because if that kid's sitting there at 15 to 20, what do we do? What do you do? What do you do as a team? What do you do as an organization?
If Lamar Jackson is there?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not NFL ready right now. Like,
I know.
And I know that he's not alone in that category. There's a bunch of guys in this draft class of quarterbacks that are not ready to step in and start NFL games.
But there's guys that are electric. Like, he's an electric guy. Like, are you going to miss the boat on something? Like, this guy can run a 4.4. Like,
right.
Boom, be gone.
He's 21 years old. What if Lamar Jackson, works with a mechanics coach and is a more accurate passer a year from now?
He's got a better chance.
At the age of 22.
He's got a better chance.
At the age of 21.
I think he's got a better chance to be a good thrower than Tim Tebow did. Absolutely. Tim Tebow just had an awkward windup. Throws paint cans. That guy, you watch him play.
Do you think that Lamar Jackson should have worked out as a wide receiver at the combine?
I think he should have been open to it.
All right, we're talking about this.
Bill Polian handled it wrong last week.
Hold your thought.
Look at your stats.
We're going to get to that right after these headlines. We've got Sarge with headlines, and he's got an update on Charlie McAvoy. We'll get to that right now.